Good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM and to our friends on 89.0 Free FM coming out of Hamilton, going throughout the Waikato. Hope you guys are having a splendid day out there. It's another very warm summer's day out there. Some beautiful rain yesterday, so very nice indeed. And thanks for listening to the show, whether you're listening to it live on one of those frequencies or listening back to a podcast or back on the archives or streaming live. Either way, I hope you enjoy the show. And today, we're going to go through some primary sector headlines, have a look at some weather, do some gardening to-dos, and a bit later in the show, we're going to be joined by Neil Shaw from Plasback, which is a plastic recycling organisation, a business that takes plastic off farm and turns it into other stuff. So that'll be interesting. So I'm looking forward to having him join us by phone, all going well, in a little while. So we'll come back soon with some primary sector headlines, but firstly, let's play this one by the band called King Harvest.
Corn in the field, I listen to the rise when the wind blows across the water. King Harvest is surely come. I work for the union, 'cause she's so good to me. Where she said I should be, I will hear every word the boss may say, for he's the one who hands me down my pay. Looks like this time I'm gonna get to stay. I'm a union man now all the way. The smell of the leaves from the magnolia trees in the harvest is surely come. A dry summer and then come fall, which I depend on most of all. Hey, rainmaker, can you hear the call? Please let these crops grow tall. Long enough I've been up on Skid Row. And a yellow moon, and pretty soon a carnival on the edge of town. King Harvest is surely come. Last year this time wasn't no joke. My whole barn went up in smoke. And our horse Jethro, he went mad. And I can't ever remember things being that bad.
There with King Harvest. I hope you enjoyed that. And now we're going to have a look at some primary sector headlines here on the Over the Fence show. And a new farm in Canterbury has tested positive for the cattle disease of Mycoplasma bovis. Indeed, yes. As part of the M. bovis eradication program, which began in 2018 around 8 180,000 cattle from more than 270 farms have had to be culled. MPI says the latest detection meant the Ministry of Primary Industries said the latest detection meant there were now five current infected properties. And the MBOVA's program director, Simon Andrews, said the new confirmed infected farm was a dairy grazing operation in Banks Peninsula. And it was linked through ownership and animal movements to a confined property in the Wakanui area in South Canterbury. So, yes, they are trying kind of to do their best, but, yeah, it's not an easy task, obviously, to eradicate that out of the country, which will be a world first if we do manage it. And a February dry spell arrives early for West Coast farmers. Yes, indeed. West Coast farming leader says region's in the cusp of drought, with some farmers already buying extra feed and offloading stock. While it's been a wet summer for much of the country, the West Coast has been a different story, with some parts not having seen meaningful rain in weeks. Fire emergency recently suspended all fire permits in the Grey District, citing a shortage of water due to lack of significant rainfall. And West Coast Federated Farmers President Beedy O'Connor said the dry conditions had set in much earlier than usual, which was a worry. And he says, this is quite early for it to be dry, and traditionally February is our driest month on the coast. We're experiencing high temperatures, warm winds, and they just keep making things dry out in a hurry. So, yeah, it's always some part of New Zealand. I mean, it's been a nice wet summer up around in the Waikato, hasn't it, folks, which has been great. And New Zealand Mānuka honey producers vow to continue their trademark fight. Indeed, yes, a group of New Zealand honey producers working to trademark the term Mānuka honey have refiled court proceedings in the UK and EU. And they'll be backed by a wider honey industry and government. New Zealand Mānuka Honey Appellation Society has been working to protect the term so that only honey from New Zealand can be called Mānuka since, I think it was way back in 2015. It said Mānuka was a Māori word and was a distinctive product of New Zealand. However, in 2021, the UK Intellectual Office rejected the application. And this time around, the UMF Honey Association is supporting the claims. Chairperson John Rawcliffe said the industry learned a lot from the failed bin, and we're now trying again. And he adds, we were able to stand back and understand a little bit more about the process, about legal nuances, and we were able to take all of these on board and refile. So they're going to continue that one. And quality issues are continuing to haunt kiwi fruit growers. Yes, I remember reading many headlines out about this last couple of seasons. With marketer Zespri informing orchardists that the problem is now worse than first anticipated. In a letter sent to growers on Friday, Zespri chief executive Dan Matheson said the quality issues had kept building as the 2022 kiwi fruit season drew to a close. He adds, demand for our fruit has remained as expected and we have completed the 2022 season in line with previous years. However, we have seen further deterioration in the fruit quality of our final vessels, particularly in the final shipments out of our green varieties into Europe and Asia. And Matheson said at the time of his previous forecast, fruit loss in Europe was estimated approximately 7% for the last quarter of 2022, but that estimate's now been revised to about 20%. And he also adds quality claims from customers are also estimated to be nearly three times the level we're experiencing in 2021. And more significant than anticipated in the prior forecast, he says. So, yeah, I don't know what that is. But, yeah, it's certainly been one that's been around for quite a while. And this will probably be due for the headlines after this one. And it's Fonterra sees international competition as a way to bake in global demand for New Zealand butter. The best use of New Zealand's bright yellow grass-fed butter was the secret of success. At the Cooperative's Confectionery and Bakery Recipe, g'day mate, contest which saw 60 of Japan's leading chefs create a range of award-worthy buttery treats. Among the winning entries at the Fonterra Grand Prix included a bread named Moon of Grass-Fed Butter and confectionery called Fonterra Butter Sand. Our competition was held in 2019-2020, but the winners had to wait until recently to collect their prize, which included a tour of New Zealand, as well as commercialisation of their winning entries aimed at promoting grass-fed butter and dairy products over in Japan. All right, so that'll probably do for the headlines, I think, for today. Now I'm going to play for you David Kilgore song, Looks Like I'm Running Out.
Looks like I'm running out, but I'm just getting started.
Google there with the song Looks Like I'm Running Out. Weather time now on the Over the Fence show here, and all easterly airflow lies over New Zealand today. Moving around, large high out to our east. Some instability this afternoon for inland parts of the North Island. Thanks to good surface moisture and some slight cooling aloft. A trough also brings showers to the northwestern corner of the South Island. Yes, indeed. So, a bit of rain around. I mean, it's quite muggy. We got beautiful rain yesterday, like I said earlier, and so that's all good stuff. And what's going to happen today? Well, isolated afternoon showers develop for inland parts of the North Island today, and some of these showers may become heavy with thunder, then clearing later on. And this is a result of converging winds at the surface, good surface moisture, and some slight cooling aloft. So yeah, that's going to be maybe from here right down through the Central Plateau, over Taranaki, down into the capital. And rain's going to move into Northland tomorrow, with low moving in towards the Upper North Island from the tropics, which brings rain to Northland tomorrow. And the exact timing of this rain will move in is up for debate, but could be from the afternoon or evening, and generally the second half of the day. And the rain hangs around the North Island Friday and into the weekend, with the heavy falls looking likely, especially in areas exposed to the east. So eastern Northland through to the Bay of Plenty and East Cape, and then down at Hawke's Bay as well. So yes, there's a could be a, I think it's a long weekend this weekend too, isn't it, for most folks? And east-northeasterly winds are set to pick up, with winds are going to pick up for the Upper North Island on Friday and continue to be a little gusty on Saturday. Excuse me. And winds on Saturday shift south and a bit. And southeasterly strengthen through the Cook Strait and round about the outer Marlborough Sounds, which could actually get up the gale force down there. So, yeah, not looking great for the, what is it, Auckland anniversary, I think, or something like that this weekend, isn't it? So, anyways, what can we have a look at around here for the Waikato? Let's have a look at this. It is partly cloudy. A few showers north of Auckland and a nor'easterly airflow. The Waikato and Bay of Plenty may see a few afternoon isolated showers. We might get one here. It's certainly muggy enough, I think, to maybe bring a bit of rain. So we shall see, I guess. And daytime temperatures this week, somewhere between 23 and 24 degrees, so pretty compact there. Looking a bit cloudy today around here in the Waikato, and again, cloudy tomorrow. Looking likely to be showers Friday, Saturday, which is going to clear in a sort of sunny spells on Sunday and Monday. It's going to be breezy on Tuesday, and then yeah, showery again into next week. And nighttime temperatures this week, it's 15 degrees tonight, and the rest of the week's kind of like between 17 and 18 degrees for the rest of the week. So yeah, kind of yeah, not too hot, luckily, but yeah, not too cool either. So sleeping should be all right though. And the winds today are nor'easterly, tomorrow east nor'easterly, and the next day as well east nor'easterlies, easterlies on Saturday. And east nor'easterlies pretty much into next week from then on. And, yeah, how strong are these winds? Yeah, going to pick up to about around about 30, or well, about mid-30s kind of into early next week. 30 degrees, I mean 30, mid-30 kilometres per hour, I should say. Humidity today is somewhere around 74%. And the sun rose this morning at 6:25 and will set at 8:39 this evening. the actual the length of visible light is 15 hours and 13 minutes, and the actual day length is 14 hours and 14 minutes. There we are. And tomorrow will be 1 minute and 47 seconds shorter than it is today. And the moon, the beautiful moon, ladies and gentlemen, was the new moon just a few days ago, it was. And that was the beginning of the lunar year. It was just a couple of days ago. And the phase at the moment is a waxing crescent. About 22% of the moon is illuminated. And the moon will rise at 9.56 this morning and will set at 11.05 this evening. So there we are. There's some weather. And I'm going to come back with some gardening to do. Ask this one by Lou Reed called Turn to Me.
Your vices, you're between a hard place and a wall, and your car breaks down in traffic on the street. Remember, I'm the one who loves you. You can always give me a call. Turn to me, turn to me, baby, turn to me. If your father is freebasing and your mother turning tricks, that's still no reason you should have a rip. Remember, I'm the one who loves you. You can always give me a call. Turn to me, turn to me, turn to me. When your cheeks are ground down to the bone, and there's nothing between your legs, and some friend died of something that you can't pronounce, remember, I'm the one who loves you. Hey baby, you can always give me a call. Turn to me, turn to me.
Turn to me, baby.
Yes, Lou Reed there with Turn to Me always makes you laugh, that song. And I hope you enjoyed it. And now we're going to have a look at some gardening here on the Over the Fence show. And what you can do out there today is sow and plant some heat-loving lettuces and rocket for summer salads. Also sow some leek and onion seeds as well. And from Sunday on in the new phase of the moon, I can't actually quite read that at the moment, so we won't get into that one. But what else can you plant here in the Waikato? Well, there are some of the things you can plant as well. Elise and basil, beans, beetroot, blueberries, carrots, chrysanthemums, cosmos, courgettes, cucumber, daisy, delphiniums, dianthus, fuchsia, gerbera, impatiens, lavender, lettuce, marigolds, mesclun, parsley, pansy and viola, parsley, passion fruit, petunia, potatoes, radish, silver beet, spring onions, and sweet corn. So these are some of the things you can get in the ground there. And I may or may not come back to some public service announcements after this one by Paul Weller called Sunflower.
Oh,
That's Paul Weller there with the song Sunflower. I hope you enjoyed that. And some quick public service announcements. Now, Surfing for Farmers, I forgot to get a hold of Maddie Kirk about that one, but it may or may not be starting this Wednesday or next Wednesday, but it is coming back very shortly, and that's going to be Wednesday nights from about 5:30, I think it is. So keep an eye out for that one, and I'll come back with some details about that next week, all going well. And also, as usual, good people at the Whangaroa Environment Centre next door there have got the Aroha Sea Stand out in the hallway to the Town Hall here and on Bow Street, Raglan. So you can go there and grab the seeds and take whatever tickles your fancy from there. And so, yeah, get into that one. And they've changed their opening hours. I think they're open pretty much every weekday now between like 11 and 2 or something like that. But the Tool Library, of course, is open, and Katie's in there today doing a thing. And also tomorrow, yes, there's a – I can't go to it, unfortunately, but there's there's a bunch of people from Time Bank going to into Hamilton to see an urban sort of farming kind of setup, which unfortunately, yeah, like I said, I can't go, but it'll be quite interesting. So get a hold of Tanya from Time Bank and the Whangaroa Environment Centre if you want to go along with that one. And I won't do what song gods and things like that now, because I'm probably going to run out of time to do that, because I'm going to get our guest on very shortly, all going well. So I'm going to play for you now Gorillaz with Snoop Dogg and the song Welcome to the World of the Plastic Beach. And hopefully, all going well, we'll return with our guest today from Plesback, Neil Shaw.
Gorillaz and the Boss Dogg, Planet of the Apes. Revolution will be televised, and the pollution from the ocean, now with devotion, push peace and keep it in motion. Kids gather around, yeah, I need your focus. I know it seems like the world is so hopeless. It's like Wonderland. Now fascinate me, picture and animate me, cause I'm rolling, heat holding, click clacking, crack a lacking, full packing, more stacking, hanging the fool when I teach. Welcome to the world of the plastic beach. Yeah. Welcome to the world of the plastic beach. Mirror, mirror, on the wall. Boss dog, give it to him. Get involved, turn it up, speed it up, slow it up. Underground, buddy, under us, undercut. Shipped up, chipped out. Swimming with the sharks with my gills up. Turn the wheels up real tough. Drinking lemonade in the shade. Getting blade with a gang of pilgrims. Yeah, this is my path. Belly flopping, locking while I'm rocking in the bubble bath. And I'm just like math. Four zones added up to get you more cash. Yeah, so quick, so fast. All the kids say they love it when I make them laugh. Welcome to the world of the plastic beach. Yeah. Welcome to the world of the plastic beach. Welcome to the world of the plastic beach. Yeah. Welcome to the world of the plastic beach.
Welcome to the world of the plastic beach.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Over the Fence show here on Regan Community Radio 98.1 FM and Free FM, coming out of Hamilton, going throughout the Waikato. And on the phone, we're joined by today's guest, Neil Shaw. And how are you today, Neil?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah.
Good stuff. And you were just saying you're down Canterbury ways. How's it down there today?
Yeah, based in Canterbury, and it's a reasonable sort of a day here today. It's the usual story down here. It gets a bit dry at this time of the year, but different to what's been going on up in the North Island, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, a beautiful summer up here. I was actually reading out in the headlines that the West Coast is they're talking about droughts already over there.
That's right. Yeah, there's a bit of a saying in Canterbury, you're only ever 10 days away from a drought.
Yeah,
Norwester comes flying in, and away it goes, you know. But that makes the coast pretty wet as well. So, yeah, at the moment, we've been reasonably fortunate.
Yeah, all right. And so, I guess firstly, Neil, you're from Plasback, I should actually mention, which is a plastic recycling company getting plastic and things off farm. But I guess firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself first, Neil.
Me personally, I've been in the agricultural sector all my working life, straight from school. And worked for a number of merchants, the old Pinegall Guinness before it became PGG Wrightson's.
Right.
Did a bit of agronomy work there. Worked with a couple of chemical companies, and then more latterly for a couple of cooperatives, rural supplies co-ops. And then went and, for my sins, took on the lead role for the Mycoplasma bovis eradication program.
Oh, did
on
you?
On behalf of Assure Quality. Yeah, so
right.
Assure Quality was essentially a contractor into MPI.
Right,
so my team was delivering the bad news and doing the surveillance testing and things like that.
And so was that when it started up in 2018 or something, wasn't it, that one? Yeah.
Or something like that. The numbers came down considerably, and then one of my tasks was to obviously disestablish that team and disestablish myself on the way through.
Right.
And that's how I ended up at Plasback about 18 months ago as the commercial manager.
Okay.
So that's a bit of my background.
All right. Yeah, no, I was just reading out yet again just today that a fifth farm has been found now out Banks Peninsula with M. bovis.
Yeah, most of it seems to be still centred around Canterbury at the moment, the four or five farms that have got infections. Yeah.
Realistically, what are the chances of New Zealand eradicating, do you think, Neil?
That's a whole other topic. So, obviously, everybody's got an opinion on this one, but science suggests that it can be done. And we've proven, I guess, that we've been able to get through most of it, the surveillance testing and the bulk tank milk testing and all of the other testing that's in place is obviously helping give a really good picture of where the disease is, and it's not showing up too strongly anywhere at the moment, other than, like we say, these four or five farms that are in the Canterbury region.
I think if any country can do it, I think we can, right? I think it's be a world first if we do too, so that's kind of exciting as well, if we can. Okay, but anyways, you've been at Plasback for 18 months, and what got you interested in that one, Neil?
Yeah, it's an interesting place to be. The Plasback business was started back in 2005 by a company called AgPac, which some of your listeners will be aware of. AgPac brings quite a lot of plastic into the market to bale hay and silage. So all of those bales that you see sitting around in paddocks and things like that, that's the type of product that was brought in. And AgPac determined that it needed to do something about the waste that was being created. So they identified that, 15, 16 years ago. And set about trying to establish some sort of collection methodology, and of course it was all voluntary, and at that stage not a lot of the industry or the merchant channels were really that interested. There was nothing to compel anybody to do any recycling, so it was a bit of a slow burn for a while. I think in the first year of operation the business collected about 9 tonne of waste plastic.
Okay.
And 15 years later, we've just completed this year, and we've collected 5,500 tonnes.
Right.
So, and it's all voluntary at this stage, but it will become mandated. So, excuse me, but I saw it as a good opportunity to get involved in an area of the business that is still in what I consider to be my sweet spot, which is the agricultural sector.
Yeah.
And doing something useful around managing this waste, on behalf of the the agricultural sector and doing something positive with it. Everything we collect is recycled, so, you know, there's a few cynics out there that talk about, oh, you guys just take this stuff and stick it in a landfill or whatever. But, you know, that's a zero-sum game for us. We don't actually... We can't make a living from doing that sort of thing, and it's not the right way to handle the plastic.
Yeah, no, that's right, Neil. Yeah, it's... And I'm trying to think, when did hay and that start getting actually wrapped in plastic? How many years ago was that, do you remember?
Well, it would have been a while ago now. Certainly in the early 2000s, I would have thought.
Yeah, yeah, that sort of sounds about right to me, I think, when I first started seeing it around. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. And so Plasbec jumped up from there, and, I mean, what did you say, 5,500 tonnes just this year, was it?
Yeah, just in the last 12 months. So
that's good numbers. Really, are you happy with that number? Or?
It's not a bad number. We reckon it's probably still sitting at about maybe 50% of what's actually going into the market.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so it's still a bit of work to do. But I think the thing you've got to remember is that this is all voluntary. So it really, there's nothing to compel anybody to do this. It's really about whether or not the farmer or the manager wants to actually take on this process and actually contribute to having the product collected and processed. So there's not any funding for this. There's no levy funding currently. So unless the farmer contributes financially to having the product collected, then nothing happens.
Yeah.
So there's still people out there that are happy to bury it or burn it. We'll just keep working our way through the list of farms, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Have you heard any rumblings out of the Beehive about making it kind of mandatory or something like that, or give some sort of encouragement towards farmers to get into that? Or
it's a good question. The short answer is yes. So the government put up six different waste streams that were going into a mandated process, and they were things like refrigerants and tyres and e-waste, agricultural chemical containers, etc. And one of those was farm plastics, which is where Plasbec sits.
Okay, yeah.
So that's been gazetted, and that means that the scheme will take place in July 2024. Well, that's when it will kick off.
Right.
So what that means basically is that anybody that's bringing plastic into the market in New Zealand, whether it's been manufactured within New Zealand or imported, will have to pay a levy. That levy will then be paid into a product stewardship organisation. It won't be Plasbec. And then Plasbec would be one of the collecting agencies that could be funded to go and actually collect that product.
Right.
So that means that the farmer would no longer directly write a check out to Plasbec to collect that product, but more than likely the levy would be applied to the product that was being sold into the market. As it is today in the agricultural chemical sector, there's a levy already applied to chemical containers going into the market.
Yeah, and I think the product stewardship thing, I mean, it's not going to be just for farmers. It's kind of all over the board, really, isn't it? The government's talking about doing stuff like that, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And, right now, the agricultural sector is the sector that, you know, I'm charged with making sure that we can help clean the plastic up.
Mm.
But, you know, tyres will be in there, won't be part of what mandated scheme that we're running, but we could possibly pick those up while we're there. Those are the sorts of things that will, I guess, evolve over time.
Yeah, yeah.
The one thing about it is that it changes weekly, you know, in terms of what's going on and what the opportunities might be and where the challenges sit and things like that as well.
Okay, yeah. And I suppose with elections or whatever this year as well, who knows what will happen after that, I guess. Yeah,
well, that's right. You know, things slow down a bit, obviously, in an election year in terms of decision-making and processes.
So I guess run us through the process of when the plastic leaves the farm, Neil. What run us through it from the farm gate to you guys.
Well, I'll wind it back slightly for some of your listeners that may not be au fait with what goes on. But essentially, a contractor or a farmer will bale the hay on farm. and that plastic obviously sits around the bale until it's used. When that plastic is cut off the bale feeding out, we have a bin and liner system that we operate. So it's essentially a 1.3 cubic metre bin that has simply what we'd call what we refer to as like a rubbish bin liner that goes inside that bin.
Right.
And then you proceed to put your plastic inside that liner. You can get about, depending on how well you pack it, between maybe 150 to 200 bale wraps in that bag.
Right.
And there's many ways of doing that. So some farmers will put a tire on a chain and drop it in on top of the plastic and then leave it there. And then when they get their next lot of plastic, obviously they'll take it out, put the plastic in, and then drop the tire back on top again.
That's a crafty one.
Press it down. Yeah, yeah. Well, it maximises the amount you can get in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
When that bag will weigh about 200 kilos by the time it's filled up. Twist the top off on it and zip tie it shut. And the bin that it sits in is just essentially a clip. It's a shell that just clips around the bag. So you unclip it, move the bin, and then set it up again next to the bag that's full, put another bag in and start the process again.
Right.
So it's quite a simple process. Mm-hmm. Once you've got enough bags, you know, and everybody's different, so some people might only fill one bag, some might fill five bags every couple of weeks. I mean, you just don't know. It depends on the size of the property.
Yeah.
They will then book a collection, and we have 14 collectors across the country. So we've got the country covered, so it doesn't matter where you are, we can get to you and pick up your farm plastic.
Oh, that's good.
And so you book a collection there. You can book a collection through the Plasback website, which is plasback.co.nz, and there's a button there that you can click on, and you'll just fill out what you've got that needs to be collected, etc., and then that will come through our system and be allocated to the collector in your region.
Right. Yeah.
Then the collector will go and make that collection. Nine of our collectors have balers on their properties, and what they will do is then bring those bags back to the farm, and they will bale those bags. So we get, depending on how well they're filled, let's call it five or six bags to a bale. So
right.
Those bales weigh about 1.2 ton.
Right, right.
And then some of the product is processed and recycled in New Zealand, and some of it is processed and recycled offshore,
okay,
depending on where the need is from our perspective.
Yep.
The product that's recycled offshore is actually blown out into builder's film. So
right.
If you remember the plastic that goes under a concrete floor when you're pouring a pad and things like that.
Yeah.
Use it for that sort of thing. And you can buy that through hardware stores. And then in New Zealand, we have a product made called Tough Board. And Tough Board is, if you can imagine, a piece of board that's similar in dimension to plywood.
Yeah.
So it's about 1.2 metres wide, about 2.4 metres long. And it comes in different thicknesses. So you can get 4, 6, 9 and 12 mil boards.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have it in a roll, like a 2 mil thick, 30 metre long roll.
Right.
And that's used for all sorts of applications. So that's used in for trailer decks, deer yards, carving pens, horse floats.
Right.
You name it. Yeah, whatever you can think of. Now, it's not suitable for obviously lining your sleep out and things like that. It's not brand approved.
Right, okay. Yeah.
It's a very good product. It's a very good plywood substitute. And we've seen significant uptake because it's hygienic, so it can be washed and wiped down and things like that. So if you're in a situation where you might be de-horning or something like that, you know, with the deer cutting velvet, whatever it might be, it's found its way into that market because it's a hygienic sort of a product.
Yeah, it'd be good for like your calf yards and things like that too, I'd imagine, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yep, all of those. Piggeries. Don't seem to destroy that the way they do plywood.
Interesting.
So, it's all sorts of uses. And then we've had a number of approaches from people that are finding all sorts of weird and wonderful things to do with them.
Fantastic.
So everything that we collect is recycled. And essentially, if it's not made into Tough Board, or if it's not made into, say, the builder's film or another product we have called Tough Deck, which is an interlocking decking that you can use to walk on, and it's being used in wall sheds and things like that.
Right, yep.
Then the recycled resin is sold on the open market.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, that's what I say. If we can't recycle it, then we won't collect it at this point in time. There's no point.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the resin, does it get sold mainly in New Zealand or like overseas?
No, most of the product that we have recycled, so the recycled product is definitely sold in New Zealand.
Right.
But we have, obviously, offshore recycling and we have onshore recycling because we've got different arrangements with different products being made in different places.
Right.
So it depends on who's got the capability to make the products that we're looking for.
Okay, yeah. Oh, interesting stuff. Yeah, okay. And so, okay, you got the tough board, you got the tough deck. What are the products you guys?
We've got a couple of interesting products coming down the track. Actually, they're just in their infancy, but they're agriculturally focused, and they will be made from recycled product as well. So, what we look at is where can we actually make a difference and demonstrate a circular economy in the egg sector. So while we do collect the plastic, you know, we also know that we need to be able to think about what might be required from the farming community that could substitute for existing plastics that may be made from virgin material.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you've got to watch with recycled plastic is that particularly the agricultural plastics and things like that. They're not, once they've been recycled, you can't actually use them for anything that's food grade.
Ah, right. Okay, yeah.
They don't meet that standard because they've been recycled.
Right.
So, you know, food grade plastics are almost always virgin plastics.
Right, okay then, yeah. All right.
Yep.
And on your website, you've got a couple of interesting things like bins for like food scraps and things like that.
That's right. The Uber bins. That's URBA, yeah, and they come in different sizes, 30 and 40 litre bins, and they're stackable bins, so it helps you with segregating your waste. You know, you can stack one on top of the other, and have one for food waste, and you know, one for paper or whatever it might be, and you know, just label them. So it makes it easy for people to understand. A little bit like the concept you see in towns now, where you have the different bins. This is just a smaller version of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Another good initiative, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So we've got, as I said earlier in your program, we've picked up collected about 5,500 tonnes of product last year, and we've got about 7,000 bins in the market at the moment across the agricultural sector.
Okay.
And really, I think the biggest impact in the last 2 years to the uptake has actually been the Fonterra Cooperative Difference, which is actually recognising Fonterra shareholders for the work they do around sustainable farming practices.
Okay.
And one of those practices is the way you manage your waste on farm or your plastic. And if you do that effectively, then that counts towards the extra payment that you'll get.
Okay.
One of four criteria, and I think you have to get 3 out of the 4 criteria to be eligible for the payment.
Right.
So we've seen a boost in an interest around dealing with your waste plastic.
Okay.
From that, yeah. It would be the single biggest driver, I think, of the increase in business for plastic over the last 12 to 18 months.
Okay, well, that's a good thing anyways. Yeah.
And
you've recently joined forces with AgRecovery, who, I guess they do a similar thing to you guys, do they? Or?
Yeah, so AgRecovery started life about the same time as Plasmac, but it was focused on the collection of the agricultural chemical drums.
Yes.
So the agricultural chemical industry pays, pays a levy, and I believe it's about 12 cents a litre levy, into AgRecovery, and then AgRecovery is being responsible for dealing with the collection and disposal, if you want to call that, or recycling of agricultural chemical drums.
Right.
Which is good. Plasmac was founded on a need to deal with what we call stretch film and silage pit covers.
Right, yeah.
And then, of course, we're both doing a similar thing in the market, but AgRecovery is a not-for-profit charitable trust.
Right.
And Plasmac is commercially owned and operated.
Mm-hmm.
So we had different drivers, I guess, in terms of our business models. And when I joined the business, Tony Wilson, the CEO of AgriCovery, and myself, we got together and had a bit of a chat about what needed to be happening in the industry. And we've aligned ourselves to make sure that we can, I guess, offer the complete service to customers, being people that are putting product into the market, mm-hmm. and obviously making sure the farmers are able to get that product back off the farm, and we can do something with it appropriately. So, yeah, we try and work together and across the sector and make sure that, you know, everything's in order, really. But it's a long process, and we're all learning as well, because one of the biggest problems with these products is actually logistics. You know, it's, New Zealand's not an easy country to get around with this sort of stuff. And if you're trying to get onto every farm in the country, you know, some of them are a bit harder to get to than others as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I'm just looking through what other things you can work with here too, and there's like polypropylene bags you can recycle, and drum recycling, and even vineyard nets and twine and things like that. That's interesting.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point. So, you know, to the layperson, you know, plastic's plastic. So if I just chuck it all in the bag, she'll be right. Let's get it recycled. We have to actually handle this product in single streams.
Yep.
So while we run the Plasback bin and liner system, you know, it doesn't mean that you can throw stretch film and bags and twine and everything all in the same bag. Because the way the product is processed is different, and you've got to keep it in its different streams. So one of our biggest challenges is actually educating people to make sure they understand the quality of the product is important. So we don't want too much in the way of contamination.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that. So giving the product a bit of a shake before you throw it in the bag is always a great idea.
Yeah.
Not leaving it on the ground. So we get some instances where it's left on the ground in a bit of a heap, and then somebody will come along with a front end loader and pick it up and put it in the bag, and there'll be half a bucket of soil in the bag as well.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So, you know, those sorts of things, which is not a good look for what we're trying to do, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay. I think you're doing a great thing there. And I guess if any sort of farmers are listening who might want to get involved, what's the best way to go about that one, Neil?
Yeah, so coming through the website, or we do have a free phone number there as well on the website.
Yeah, it's a very nice website too, by the way. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. And if you're not sure how it all works, there is a video on the front of the on the homepage showing that. It's about a 4-minute watch, so it won't take too much out of your day if you want to see how it all works. And then you can give us a call, and we can certainly get you organised. No problem at all.
Fantastic. All right, Neil, anything else you kind of want to add for the listeners today?
No, I think we've actually covered it. But, you know, we're more than happy to talk to individuals or groups. So at the end of the day, if somebody's saying, hey, I'm interested in this, and I've got a few of my colleagues that would be, then, yeah, by all means. We have enough people that are travelling around at times that we can always arrange to catch up and talk you through it.
Yeah, nice one. Oh, well, excellent stuff, Neil. Thanks very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Coming on and having to talk to us about this. And so the folks, Plasback, so the plastic on farm, and like I say, like twine and your polyprop bags and everything. Yeah, they can all go. But yeah, just got to separate them out properly, Neil.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again, Neil. Really appreciate it. And go well. It's a good thing you guys are doing. And changes come along, we'll keep in touch and see how the whole product stewardship thing goes, because I think it's very interesting what may or may not happen there. So thanks again.
No problem. Our pleasure.
All right. Hey, cheers, Neil.
Thanks.
All right. See you.
Bye.
See you. All right, folks. There we are. That was Neil Shaw there from Plasback. Yeah, it's a good initiative they're doing, isn't it, folks? So good on those people. And I hope you enjoyed that. That's kind of it from the show, really. So I hope you enjoyed it. And me hidey ho, I've got to go. And I'll take you out with Alan the Sniffer's Guide to Buy Angels Live. So, yeah, all going well. Back in next week. Have a good one, folks. And take it easy. And, go get there.